Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field, this is Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. The final score from Soldier Field in Chicago, the Bears 20, the Jaguars 19. Let's go to the phone line to Weston, Florida, down south, and welcome in pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. Fred, good evening.
JP, what's up, man? Mike, how's it going?
Doing well.
It was really good in the first half, Fred.
Oh, man, it was great. It looked really, really good. I loved it.
Fred, let's start off with the first team offense. Three drives, three scores, and an early lead, and some consistency on offense tonight.
All right, the thing I like most about that, JP, was the fast start. You can take anything from the game, but if you look at the start tonight, I thought it was amazing. We scored on, I think, the first three series. We scored, and we ended up with a 13-0 lead to end the first quarter. So when they go back and look at the film, I can guarantee that the coach is going to just praise the fast start. And not only that, but on the defensive side of the ball, it was a three and out. So they got the ball right back to the offense and let the offense do their thing.
Yeah, Fred, you get the three and out on defense, you get the turnover on special teams, momentum. But, you know, the first couple of drives, very nice, but you're settling for field goals. It was good to see finally Chad Henne hooking up with Marquise Lee and getting that across the stripe.
Yeah, you want to score touchdowns. Don't get me wrong. You definitely want to score touchdowns. But with the way I think this defense is built, you know, just allow them to smell a little blood and say, hey, we go out there and we do our job. Even if the offense is just putting up 3 points at a time, eventually something will give, like it did later right there in the quarter, and we scored a touchdown. Patience, you know, but the defense wants to just get out there, you know, and just keep their offense off the field, and we're going to win ball games that way.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. This is Jaguars postgame. We're awaiting head coach Gus Bradley with Jeff Loggeman at Soldier Field in Chicago. We'll go there shortly. Fred, Toby Gerhart got the start tonight at running back. Six carries, 19 yards. He had an 18-yard burst and showed some flashes tonight, didn't he?
Yes, he did. You know, I could have closed my eyes and thought that was the guy that was the Heisman runner-up. His very first carry was a 7-yard downhill, very physical, sort of like a rugby scrum. The offensive line, they pushed, and he ran extremely well. I'd like to see more of it.
Fred, obviously not everything good tonight. Mike Brewster, a couple of penalties, and, you know, certainly he had his struggles at times tonight, gave up a sack as well. What did you see from the interior of the offensive line?
You know, Brewster has to play better. If he's going to be the guy, he definitely has to play better. You know, he had some timing problems right there on the shotgun snap. Last week, shotgun was the thing that, you know, he didn't do so well at and definitely struggled. There was another situation where he had a holding call on the play action, and he just has to play better, but that allows for the competition, the young guys in there, Bo Winkle. I think those guys will get out there and just keep competing. We still have two more games in this preseason to allow them opportunities to get out there and see who will be the guy to separate himself.
You know, and I think for Brandon Linder, a guy they drafted and we expected to really just compete
Linder,
at the right guard position, right? I mean, this Tony Boselli highlighted this on the call of the game. He had one time when he was up against the nose tackle, kind of off center, was able to reach him, drive him 4 yards, and put him on his back. I think we're seeing some pretty good things out of this rookie.
But that's the competition. You know, those guys can – they're going to create depth through the competition. And no matter what, you have guys that are interchangeable. They're very versatile. They can go from center to guard, back to center. Yeah, and that's what the offense – the coach is going to look at that. And those guys – everybody's going to play eventually at some point. But just to go out there and establish, you know, we're going to compete. We're going to have depth. We're going to create this depth. And those are all plus for the squad.
Fred Taylor here with us here on the post game. Fred, unofficially, 14 penalties for the Jags, 141 yards. You were kind of shaking your head last week when we were here in studio that if it goes like this in the regular season, who knows how long some of these games are going to go. Do you expect the referees to carry this over? They're just trying to set the tone right now on some of the new emphasis calls on defense.
Those are definitely emphasis calls, in my opinion. You know, every year, much like us as players, you know, if there are some rule changes or certain emphasis, the coach is going to make sure we're very much aware of those so they can't hurt us in ball games throughout the course of the season. Same things with the refs. They have these emphasis calls. The NFL, they like to see them pay more attention to certain calls. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to carry over during the season. We all know during the season games are much faster, guys are more aggressive, and those refs, they can't get everything. You know, there'll be some nitpicky calls here and there, but I just don't think they're going to pull the flag as many times as they pull the flags. And 14 for 141, that's not necessarily good. And then a few of those came from the defensive side of the ball.
Jaguars postgame, J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Fred Taylor joining us from Weston, Florida on the phone line. We're awaiting head coach Gus Bradley with Jeff Lagerman. Injuries are a concern tonight. We'll have to hear from the head coach, but Austin Pastor, the right tackle, went down with what appeared to be a wrist injury, and of course Bowenko went down with what appeared to be an ankle or a foot type of injury. Those are two guys that were supposed to be in the mix. Certainly Pastor was going to start at right tackle. We'll see how difficult that's going to be going forward with what could be, well, not sure the extent of it, but you never want to see two linemen down in one game, especially a preseason game, Fred.
Especially if you're a running back.
Yeah.
You don't want to see any of those guys out. But again, it goes back to opportunity. You know, we have some depth. Thank God it's, you know, 90-person squad in camp. So there are some bodies out there. So these guys are going to go out there and try and recover. The training staff, they're all prepared to try and get these guys back as fast as they could possibly get them back. And these guys want to get back. You're in training camp. As the old cliche saying used to go, can't make the club in the tub. So they're going to try to bust their butts to get back out there and play. But this allows for someone else to get more reps, especially due to the CBA, and you can only have a certain amount of reps. So these guys are like, hey, let's take advantage of our opportunity. And that's what you want to see. You want to see them go out there and take full advantage, you know, and try and create that depth. This is a long season, so we're going to need to have guys that can step up when somebody's down. It's a very physical game.
You know, Fred, really, with the Jags up 13-0, I thought the only bad drive for the defense in the first half, you had back-to-back penalties, Andre Branch, illegal hands to the face, and then Winston Guy, with a bad personal foul, took a shot at Alshon Jeffrey when he was on the ground. Yep. Despite that, I mean, if you would have said going into this game with all the weapons that Chicago has, if you're going to hold that first team to 7 points in the first half, you'd take that every week.
You have to take it. I mean, there's no doubt you have to take it. And the only thing that allowed Chicago to sustain those drives, you know, were one, the penalties as a whole. That roughness call on Winston right there, it allowed them to sustain the drive, and they ended up scoring. But, again, we didn't have, or the team didn't have, as much pressure as they had a week ago. And Jay Cutler, a savvy veteran quarterback who gets excited when he has an opportunity to step up and slide outside the pocket, he was able to connect with Brandon Marshall there and score a touchdown. So we have to minimize the penalties, have that pressure, get off the field, and allow the offense the opportunity to go down there and try and establish a drive and score.
Fred, we'll be back with you in just a moment. We're going to take our first time out on Jaguars postgame. Jeff Lagerman still coming up from Chicago, still awaiting Gus Bradley. He'll be in the locker room as well. Also still to come, the MVP of the game and much more. Jaguars fall tonight in Chicago in preseason game number 2, 20-19, the final. The Bears a winner. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Back on Jaguars postgame, 2019, the Bears over the Jaguars. Let's go to Soldier Field in Chicago. Jeff Lagerman is in the Jags locker room. Jeff.
All right, guys, here we are with wide receiver Marquise Lee. Marquise, second preseason game action, and you got your first catches in the NFL. How's it feel?
It felt good. Kind of nervous after I caught it, but I mean, pretty much got used to it towards the end, so I was okay.
How about that touchdown?
It was a great experience. Couldn't do it without my team, of course, but I mean, it was great. I mean, now we go back to the drawing boards, you know, work on what we got to work on and prepare for next week.
How big was it early in this ball game offensively to really establish tempo and some success on first and second down, where you guys had third downs and manageable throughout the first half?
It was great. I mean, you know, our main focus is, you know, to build the chemistry. You know, once we get the first play rolling, you know, just keep going, keep trying to, you know, push the ball forward, which is what we did. Focus is complete. Take care of, you know, take care of what you can take care of, as far as, you know, just being responsible and reliable. When the ball comes your way, you catch it. When you run it, you block and things like that. That was our main focus, and I feel like we did that today.
And it almost felt like you guys were on the field for the entire first half with the takeaway by the special teams. I think at one point you guys had like 30-something plays offensively, and the Bears only had like five.
I mean, that's just great special team play, you know. Not even just special team, but great defensive play. You know, they going out there and playing their butts off for us, you know. And in the back end, we just try to score, you know, give as much as we can. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, as far as the team, we did what we were supposed to do. And I feel like, you know, we left some things on the field, but, I mean, just stuff you just go back and work on.
All right, thank you, Marquise.
No problem, thank you.
Thank you very much. In the locker room, Marquise Lee, J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Fred Taylor is on the phone line from Western Florida. Jaguars postgame rolls along, 2019, the Bears over the Jags. And, Fred, it's great to hear Marquise Lee with a little more pep in his step this week, right?
Hey, it's great to see him get those catches. I was just sitting here thinking, J.P., those quarterbacks, whomever is slated as the guy to get the season going, they're going to have options. They have guys that are big and strong and fast. They have guys that are, you know, intermediate in size, but they're quick. They can be the screen guys and the underneath route crossing guys. So they're going to have options, and these guys light up. The one thing I saw or I noticed after he caught the ball, he wanted to run with the ball. He was excited. We always say get excited when you catch it. And he lit up, and you saw right there he made a move or two. Got in the end zone, and that's why we drafted him.
You know, I think, Fred, also, you know, they draft Allen Robinson and Cecil Shorts, both of those guys out right now, and they're developing these young guys. They're having an opportunity to get reps they otherwise might not be getting. Allen Hurns, another solid game, maybe skewed the stats a little with that 45-yard catch at the end of the half, but good bounce-back game as well for Mike Brown, though. Three catches for 49 yards, and Bortles found him in some tight windows.
That's always the theme of camp. You know, injuries are going to happen. It's a long camp. It's grueling. It's hot. It's, you know, a lot of strain, a lot of soft tissue injuries. So that's going to happen. So the guys that are in line, you're next up. So taking advantage of your opportunity is always the theme of camp. You know, Hurns, he stepped in there and made a big play right down the sideline just before half. But still, he caught it. You don't always catch those, so he caught it. So we got to give him some credit. He's prepared, so he definitely deserves the credit. And Mike Brown to bounce back after a drop or two last week. No, those guys are just going to get out there and keep grinding and grinding. You always want to establish film. Because if it doesn't work out here in Jacksonville, trust me, those other scouts and those other teams, you're on their radar. And to pad your film, practice, games, whatever it may be, you're giving yourself another opportunity. And that's what it's all about.
2019 final, Bears over the Jaguars. At GEICO, you have a choice of ways you could save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. It is time to choose an MVP, and we'll start off the voting tonight. Fred, who you got for MVP?
I think it's a no-brainer. I like Chad. I like the way Henny came back tonight.
Michael?
Yeah, I got to go with that as well. I mean, Chad Henne, I think, was under the biggest microscope, especially because Bortles played so well last week. Straight scoring drives to open things up, and he threw the touchdown pass. You wanted to see the first team put seven on the board. He was able to get it done.
Well, let's make it a 3-for-3. Chad Henne, great night after a struggle last week for the starting offense, and Chad Henne gets it done tonight. The final stats for Henne, passing in the game, 12-of-17, 130 yards, a touchdown. He is the MVP of the game. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Fred, we'll catch up with you in just a few minutes as Jaguars postgame rolls along. We'll have the Bud Light play of the game, the highlights, all that coming up. Unhappy final in Chicago. But it's week two of the preseason. 20-19, the Bears over the Jags. And more Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score at Soldier Field, Chicago. The Bears 20, Jaguars 19. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Fred Taylor joining us over the phone line tonight from Weston, Florida. You know, in the pregame, Fred, you said, you know, this might have a different mindset for Chad Henne tonight. He had, 30 snaps in this game, and yeah, it seemed like he was just a different guy all around, right?
You know, he heard everyone early in the preseason. You know, they spoke about drafting a quarterback. They draft a quarterback. Then you have to try and get in the mindset, okay, this is just another challenge. Throughout practices, the media, they're saying, who's going to be your quarterback? Last week, he didn't perform so well. Obviously, he knew going in this week, this was his opportunity to go out there and buckle down and say, look, I'm going to get more snaps. It's going to be my show. All I need to do is find my rhythm, be the veteran that I know I could be, start fast, which is what he did tonight, and he backed it up. So I definitely think he had a different mindset going in. As a vet, you usually go in 2-3 plays, maybe 4. You don't necessarily have the mindset that I really need to sink in and get into routine as I'm going to do in season. But going into this game, he's going to play the entire first half. And he got those 30 snaps, and I think he came away well. He saw exactly what he wanted to see, and I really think his mindset and his preparation this week was the reason his performance showed.
This is what we call in the business a perfect segue to the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game for Fred Taylor. Number one, Fred, we asked you this last week, number one, who's the quarterback for the Jaguars?
The quarterback is the quarterback, the guy who's taking the snaps, baby.
Oh, he's backing off.
Backpedaling like a defensive
well,
back.
Well, after
there.
Tonight's performance, it's Chad Henne.
All right.
Okay.
Fred's creating his own quarterback controversy with himself over the last 2 weeks.
We got two more weeks to think about it.
All right, Fred, number two for you. Starting right tackle Austin Pastor seen with a soft cast on his hand. If he misses any kind of extended time, how big is that for the Jags?
It's big. I mean, these guys slated as a starter. You know, you want to have him in there. He has to get his reps. The cohesion, it has to come at some point. Again, I think we have to do better at trying to establish the run. So he being out, that can really hurt us.
And finally, give us an overall grade tonight for the Jaguars' defense in this game against a good Chicago offense.
First team defense, I'll give him a C+. A lot of room to work. Although they shut down a pretty potent offense, still the penalties, not necessarily happy with. I'm sure the coaches would agree. A lot to work on, a lot to build on going forward, so C+ will do.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game for Fred Taylor and the answers, too. We got to follow up on that one, Fred. C+, where do they have to improve?
Well, they have to just improve on, one, the penalties. You can't allow a team free shots to score points. You get off the field, you play well enough, you work hard, the effort is there. You want to get off the field when you need to get off the field. That's number one. Number two, I think the pressure wasn't there as it was a week ago. Although we did get an interception there in the second half, that wasn't the first team defense. So those two things alone, I just think there's more room. It's preseason. There's a long season. Teams are going to get better, and we have to get better as it goes.
Yeah, it's funny you say all this, Fred. I'm watching the first half, and I'm thinking, boy, it's a pretty good overall performance from this team. But if you're Gus Bradley, you love this because there are enough things that you can point at and say, we need to get better here, here, and here. And you can't just rest on your laurels. You've been in those locker rooms. Coaches love, I think, rather than praising you, pointing out those things where you can still improve.
You have to point out those things. I mean, going in after a game, if they're going to praise you, that's the easiest way to become complacent. So when you get out there on the practice field on Wednesday, you're still floating on this high. That's, you're higher because the coaches told you all the wonderful things you did. But, and that's good. That's not a bad thing. Yet coaches have to be realistic and look at the small things. The small things are going to always maximize those things that you did well. And it's going to allow you to be that much more of a dominant team, and we want a dominant defense. We want a defense that's stingy. You know, going there, you come away with 4 or 5 sacks, you know, every week or every other week. We don't want to be at the bottom of the defensive statistics this year as we were last year. So those guys are going to always give them something to shoot for, something to work for, And as far as I know, if I was the defensive coordinator, tonight's performance was just a C plus.
Post-game update with Ryan O'Halloran tweeting out information that the official diagnosis of broken hand for Austin Pastor.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, don't know the severity of that, don't know the timetable yet, but that would probably fall in the worst-case scenario kind of range right there. So we'll see how quickly he can get back.
That's a frustrating one, Fred. When you lose, who knows how long? It's a broken hand, if how severe it is. But sounds like he's not going to be in the field, at least for the foreseeable future at right tackle. So you have to figure that out now.
Yeah, we definitely have to figure out who's up next to play. A lot of shifting to do. And having a broken hand, I mean, wow. At tackle, you're using your hands. I mean, you can't lean on them. Guys are going to swim, move, sack the quarterback every play. So that's a big blow. Ankle, yeah, we could deal with an ankle and try and muscle and fight through it. But a broken hand, cast it, that would be a little tough.
Fred, we'll catch back up with you in a couple of segments from right now. The new SEC Network is available on Xfinity from Comcast starting today. You'll have access to 45 live SEC football games that you won't see anywhere else. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. All programming subject to availability restrictions apply. We'll come back with the highlights from tonight's game in Chicago, including the Bud Light play of the game, a final Everbank stats check ahead as well. That's all after these words on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along. The unhappy final at Soldier Field, Chicago tonight. The Bears 20, Jaguars 19. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor will be back with us a little bit later tonight. Let's get to the highlights from tonight's game in Chicago. Field goal fest for Josh Scobie early. He had a 49-yarder to cap off a 9-play opening drive for the Jaguars offense.
The kick is up. It's a line drive. And it is good. The Jags strike first from 49 yards out.
3-0 the score. Jags second drive, a Gerhardt 18-yard run. Bowenko came in at center. And then a 20-yard pass to Brown. Lewis had a 14-yard reception on the drive. It was a 12-play, 75-yard drive, capped off by a 25-yard field goal by Josh Scobie. And 6-0 Jags, two drives in. Ensuing kickoff, Will Blackman makes a big play in coverage.
I think the Jaguars have it. Do they call it down? Jaguars did fall on it. It's Jacksonville football. Deep in Chicago territory, Will Blackman on the recovery and a break for the Jaguars.
Will Blackman forced the fumble as well and made the recovery, set up the Jaguars deep in Bears territory. There was a sack on third down and 13, but illegal contact bailed out the Jaguars. 7 plays on the drive. Chad Henne ends up finding Marquise Lee for his first touchdown.
Pistol formation, play fake, pump fake. Henne looks to the left side, got it to Marquise Lee. Touchdown, Jacksonville, but hold on, there's a flag. He was in the end zone, but there is a flag. Let's see who it is on.
Legal hands to the face. I don't know if it's offense or defense.
And Chad Henne signaling against the Bears.
Illegal use of hands. Hands to the face, number 92 defense. That penalty's declined. Result of the play, touchdown.
And the Jags score again. Touchdown, Jacksonville. How do you like that?
Yeah, Marquise Lee has the Bud Light play of the game. Brought to you by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Jaguars leading 13-0. The Bears, though, would get on the board. The ensuing drive, it was a third down penalty on Branch. Converted a first down. Winston Guy had a personal foul on the late hit on this drive. Cutler caps off a 10-play drive with a 4-yard touchdown pass to a familiar target.
Shotgun for Cutler, two receivers left. Straight drop, looking, lots of time. Now he fires it into the end zone, touchdown. Brandon Marshall got loose, but Cutler had all the time in the world to find it.
Well, he called it perfectly, all the time in the world. Cutler cuts the Jags lead to 13-7. Scobie would have a 43-yard field goal late in the second quarter to make it 16-7. Going into halftime. Jaguars led 19-7 on a Redfern 29-yard field goal early in the second half that was coming off an Evans interception off this tip ball by Telvin Smith. Evans makes the interception to set up the Redfern field goal.
Carey remains the running back. Receivers to either side. Straight drop for Fawcett. Fires to the middle of the field. Tipped and intercepted. Josh Evans picks it off in the Jaguars secondary. Tipped and picked off by the free safety, and the Jags get another takeaway.
Continues the great play for Telvin Smith early in this preseason. The great plays last week. He had the tip ball on the interception for Josh Evans, who needed some big plays too. Evans has been out a lot of the preseason. coming off that foot surgery. That set up the 29-yard field goal for Redford. So the Jags led 19-7 for the fourth quarter, belonged to the Bears. A 10-play, 57-yard drive. Carey caps it off with a 1-yard touchdown plunge.
Kadeem Carey lowers his shoulder. No signal yet. The line judges now put their hands in the air. Touchdown, Chicago.
19-14 the score at that point in the fourth quarter. Later, the Bears would take the lead for good. 7 plays, 86 yards. Perry from 5 yards out puts the Bears up front.
First down for the Bears on the 5-yard line. They run it with Perry. Picks his way. Touchdown, Chicago. 5-yard touchdown run. Sonoris Perry scores it. The Bears have taken the lead.
They missed the 2-point conversion try. 20-19 the final score. The Bears are now 2-0 in the preseason. The Jags are now 1-1. They'll head to Detroit this coming week. Those are the highlights from tonight's game. Final score 20-19 in Chicago. When we return, we'll hear from Fred Taylor again down in Western Florida. Everbank stats check coming up. Unhappy final in Chicago tonight, 20-19. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah and Farrah, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
2019 final score, Bears over the Jags at Soldier Field. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, and have been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey at the HannityAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. On the phone line in Weston, Florida, is Fred Taylor. It's time for an Everbank stats check, Fred. We start with the quarterbacks tonight. Chad Henne, 12 of 17, 130 yards with the touchdown to Lee. Blake Bortles had more of the highlight throws tonight, 11 of 17, 160 yards. Overall, for the quarterbacks, not a bad evening, Fred.
Not a bad evening. You put the stats together, we're 26 of 40, 301, about 7.5 a WAP, one touchdown, one pick. I mean, that pick you add in Stephen Morris.
That's right.
But just looking at the guys that are slated to be the starters, one of them will be a starter. I mean, you can't get upset with that performance. I thought they both played extremely well. A lot of accuracy, a lot of poise, pocket presence. I mean, both of them commanded the offense, got the guys aligned properly where they need to be. I mean, you close your eyes, you really don't know. You really can't tell the difference between the two. They're playing so close, and they're both playing well. So you got to enjoy it.
Fred, I think you look back at last week's game. The stats lied a little bit because Bortles had a couple of drops. This week he gets the 45 yards when they're in prevent with one second left. But it's the eye test with him, isn't it? I mean, he threw a couple of balls tonight. He threw that laser to Mike Brown on the move, and he dropped a couple in over the defense that – boy, you really see the talent. You say this guy clearly shows up as the third overall pick in the draft. You see it in those flashes with him.
Yeah, there was no secret why he went so high. I mean, if you can't tell by now that he's comfortable, that he's up for the challenge, you know, he wants to prove everybody wrong. So I think he has I don't think he shared this with the public much, but I believe he has a chip on his shoulder, and he really wants everyone to know that I deserve everything that I've gotten to this point. You know, he comes out there and he's unfazed, man, and you gotta love it. His big frame. He stands in the pocket. He's not afraid to take a hit. You know, here watching the game, Gruden said he reminds him of a Ben Roethlisberger. Jaguar fans has to love that. I mean, the only thing Big Ben has done is won 2 rings up there in Pittsburgh. So if we can get close to that, man, he has a lot of upside, and the fans are going to be screaming Bortles for a long time if he is that guy.
And don't forget about the throw that was incomplete out of his own end zone, too. Probably one of the throws of the night that was incomplete. It didn't sound like Gruden liked it on TV too much, but that was a really strong throw under duress.
He came back and swallowed his words a little bit. You know, he said it was a great throw. Initially, he said they shouldn't have him throwing out of, you know, that sort of that setup. backed up on the 5-yard line. Not only that, it was a play action. He ended up scrambling out to the right. But the throw was right on the money. I thought it was a great throw. I thought it was even worthy of a challenge. You know, just to have the guts to even sling it says a lot about a young quarterback. So I like his savviness and his competitive nature so far.
Stats check continues. We look at the rushing stats tonight. Of course, Toby Gerhardt made the start. 6 carries, 19 yards, an 18-yard burst. Denard Robinson really looked good tonight. 6 carries, 34 yards, an average of 5.7, Fred. And Robinson ran well last week, had that long touchdown. A little bit better overall tonight. And, of course, Toby Gerhardt showed his flashes tonight.
Yeah, it's good. We can start to get some glimpses of what we might see during the regular season out of the running back group. You know, Toby, he's way more than capable. But if we need to do it by committee, you know, we have a slasher and a Denard Robinson. He showed some signs tonight. He'll be able to get a few more creative things done on the offensive side. You know, although he did have, it was one bobbled handoff. So I'm not sure if the handoff was bobbled or he bobbled after a few steps, but he didn't panic. He got it outside for about a 4 or 5 yard gain. Overall, as a unit, we were able to outrush Chicago, and at the end of the day in the stat book, if you can outrush the other team as a unit, you've done your job, and I'm satisfied in that category for tonight.
Fred, I think you make a great point. Obviously, you would about the running back position, but they have a lot of different styles that can blend well together. But I think the thing, too, with Toby Gerhardt is you can't really get a full sense of what he's going to bring to this team on 6 carries, because he's the kind of guy after 15 to 18 carries, he's going to start to wear down the defense when you're coming up and hitting that load all night.
And he's going to start feeling it. And he's going to want the ball more and more. And the coaches will they'll get a feel for what he wants. You know, they'll be able to say, Toby's in the zone. We can get him the ball. We're going to create this play action. We're going to give it back to him. We're going to dump it off to him. Maybe throw a screen in there. So he's a guy, 6'1", 230. Has pretty good. He has decent speed. He has some pretty good speed at 4'5". You know, a guy who's going to smash you. And he's not going to try and dance. And he's going to play the style of ball that the coaches want to see. We're able to set up a lot of play action passes, and that's the sort of trend that I'm getting in the play call so far this season, this preseason, is that we do want to establish, you know, the run, but we also want to add some play action, some naked, some boots in there, and get the quarterbacks outside and allow them to, you know, to read the defense and get the ball down to wherever it needs to go.
Let me give you one more stat, Fred, that's a credit to special teams as much as anything. Brian Sexton tweeting this out earlier tonight. First 7 possessions for Chicago. Here's the starting field position. They're own 17. They turn it over on the fumble. They're own 15. They're 10. They're 23. They're 11. And they're 10-yard line. You got to be ecstatic if you're a special teams coach and any coach on this football team to see that out of your team setting up Chicago, making them drive the length of the field all night.
Yeah, I'm sure one of our former special team coaches in Joe DeCamillis, over there on the Chicago sideline after leaving the Cowboys. Now, he's a coach that is always fiery, and to see the performance our special teams put together tonight, man, I'm sure he was going crazy. But the game is a chess match, so fans always go, why didn't we go for it here? Or why didn't we do this here? You want to play that chess match, and having a great special teams gives you an opportunity to back those guys up, go out and play, you know, hard-nosed, savvy defense, hustle, fly around, and it'll give your offense more opportunities to get the ball in, as well as your kicking game. And having a strong kicker like a Josh Scobie will take those 3 points in good field position all night.
Fred, we'll catch back up with you in just a moment. We'll come back and talk receivers a little bit. They spread the ball around tonight, and a little defense as well. Also still to come, an injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Some bad news tonight. We'll get to that coming up, too. Unhappy final in Chicago. Bears over the Jags 20-19 in preseason week number 2. And more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along. Bears over the Jags 20-19. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Fred Taylor joins us on the phone line from Weston, Florida. Mike, you're kind of following the postgame tweeting and reporting from Chicago tonight, and interesting notes about Brewster's evening.
Yeah, I think so. We talked about this earlier, Fred. You know, we highlighted he had a couple of penalties, and that's and you hope you can clean up a little bit. But apparently both Gus Bradley and Chad Henne said, with the exception of the one pass rush where he gave up the sack, they thought he played well. And Brian Sexton talked to Brewster after the game, said, you know, he had heard the criticism. He knew what kind of pressure he was under, but he felt like he had played well, said he had a big smile on his face. So apparently, you know, if you can take a couple of key plays that we point to, just like we did last week, for the majority, they're feeling like Brewster's kind of getting the job done for them.
You know, a lot of times in sports, past performances, they tend to put you in the spotlight. So going into the next opportunity, the next ball game, everyone's going to be very critical. You know, teammates, you know, they want to know if you can get it done, especially if you're slated as a guy we're depending on. You know, you tend to question yourself. You know, the coaches are questioning, can this guy really get it done? And we tend to get a little bit critical. Those two snaps last week, I think it warranted the criticism. But tonight, you know, if they saw where there were some improvements and, you know, they looked past the timing on the snap there and possibly even that holding call, then if everything else, the checks, the calls, getting the guys going in the right direction, if that outweighed those other two penalties, then it's a positive for the ball club. So we can't read into it. If they're ready to say he played better, we have to buy it into the next performance.
Fred Taylor with us on the phone line from Western Florida. Jaguars postgame rolls along. Let's go through the receivers tonight, Fred. Alan Hearns, you know, he's had a good camp. Solid start last week against Tampa. Continued it tonight. Four receptions, 74 yards. And really, an undrafted rookie who's, you know, he felt like, he told us the other week he would be drafted in the fourth, fifth round, he thought. And he kind of uses that as a little motivation. He knows Jed Fish's offense. And it's one less thing to think about, but it's starting to become a trend with him now. Hearns is playing pretty well.
You know, as a guy, you know, coming in, having an opportunity to really, you know, choose your ball club as a free agent. He's a big kid. He had some injuries back in college and didn't have the opportunity to show as much. I think earlier I mentioned about having that film, you know, and that's the one thing when you're graded and evaluated in the NFL, especially as a rookie coming out, they're going to look at, does he have film? Is he fast? Is he big? Can he catch? What's his arm hand size? All those different things. But at the end of the day, you got to get on the field and make plays. And he's shown that. So he's a guy that's taking advantage of his opportunities.
You know, we focus so much on the wide receivers, Fred, because of the injuries. Kind of overlooked Mercedes Lewis here. End of the season last year, caught touchdowns in four consecutive games when he finally got healthy. Tonight, quietly, three catches for 46 yards. Chad Henne had that connection with him, that chemistry. You know, maybe under the radar, Mercedes is ready to have kind of a bounce back to one of his better seasons of his career this year.
You know, as a former teammate, Mercedes, he's always that guy that he isn't going to talk. You know, he's going to go out there and try his hardest for you. And, you know, regardless of the outcome, you won't hear him say much about it. You know, he's not going to get too high or get too low. He's always steady. You know, unfortunately, injuries are a part of the game, and when he's not performing according to the expectations, usually he's hurt. You know, but Mercedes is a guy that's going to get in there and make the unbelievable catches. You know, and sometimes, you know, he could tend to lose a little focus at times with the simpler catches, throw and catch. But at the very end of the day, if he gets it going like they know he can, you know, that's just going to give another element to the offense along with the run game, no receivers, that young talent. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this offense this year.
Final score from Chicago tonight, the Bears 20, Jaguars 19. When we come back on Jaguars postgame, a Baptist Health injury report, and we'll wrap it up. Unhappy final in week two of the preseason. Some positives, though, for this Jaguars team. More with Fred Taylor. And more after this on Jaguars Radio. Final score from Soldier Field in Chicago. The Bears 20, Jaguars 19. Jaguars postgame rolls on. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor on the phone line in Weston, Florida. Let's get to the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Changing healthcare for good. Two notables tonight. And, you know, Austin Pastor has a fractured hand. That's the word from Chicago. No word on how long or anything. That's just the initial diagnosis. For Luke Bowenko, you know, x-rays were negative. That's a good sign. That's what reporters are saying. It is a sprain on the ankle. So, Fred, that's good news for Bowenko. Certainly not so good news for Pastor, but the way Bowenko went down and came up off the field, it looked a lot worse than just a sprain, didn't it?
The old Virginia boys, not so much of a good luck tonight. Yeah, that knee, it did look a lot worse. Thankfully, it isn't. And hopefully a little soreness maybe tonight, tomorrow. They'll get him in the training room and make sure he's getting all the attention he needs to try to expedite his return. Pastor, they're going to be careful with him, I mean, especially with a fractured hand. You don't want to make it worse going forward. Thankfully, it happened sooner than later, meaning we at least have 2 weeks. And then once we enter the season, a few more weeks. And those big guys are tough, though, and they tend to heal a lot quicker than the skilled guys. So hopefully we can get those guys back as soon as possible.
Fred, well done. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up Jaguars postgame. The unhappy final in Chicago tonight, 20-19. Bears over the Jags. We'll wrap it up after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame, 2019 Bears over the Jags in week two of preseason. Jags are now 1-1 in the 2014 preseason. Their first ever meeting at Soldier Field in the preseason. Goes, you know, the wrong way at the end.
You said they played in Champaign earlier. We're thinking about that 2002. Shad Khan could have been at that game in 2002, right? Could have been the seeds, Fred, of something great to come.
J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor joining us on the phone line from Western Florida. You know, Fred, this was a little better night overall for this offense, balanced a little bit, had Gerhardt to run the ball. They did some things through the air tonight. Overall, just a little better feeling offensively, a lot better feeling offensively.
Yeah, I thought a lot of credit definitely goes to Jed Fish, offense coordinator. I think he kept things mixed up pretty good. So Chicago's defense didn't have that opportunity to really, you know, just jump on anything. So I thought it was pretty good mix of run pass, play action, dump offs, check downs, intermediate balls. Right there, hit a couple six cuts, couple curls. So I thought the balance was there, although I still would like to see it a little bit more in the statistical category from the run game.
Next week, the Jaguars on the 22nd of August, 7:30 kickoff at Ford Field in Detroit against the Detroit Lions. That's preseason game number 3. And speaking of balance and improving, that's the longest the starters will go in this preseason will be next week. And week 3 is really the chance to improve as much as you're going to improve in the preseason on offense, really on both sides of the ball, right?
Usually week 3 is the dress rehearsal game. Now you want to get your guys in, the starters. They'll play the entire first half, come out, and you want to give them at least a series of two in the third quarter so they can get used to the short halftime. Coming out of the locker room after making the adjustments, going out, hopefully starting fast, trying to get a score on the board. The quicker you score, the quicker you're out the game and you're ready for the fourth preseason game. But there's going to be a challenge. It'll be a big challenge there next week.
A lot of the questions this week have been, will Blake Bortles get some time with the ones? Ryan O'Halloran reporting after the game, Fred, that when asked about it, Gus Bradley, kind of the same stuff. Maybe, possibly, non-committal at this point.
They have a plan.
Right, but do you want to see him at least get a series? If Chad, let's say Chad takes him into the third quarter, plays a series, plays well, gets out of there. You want to see the rest of the starters stay in and give Blake a chance to at least run once with the ones?
You want to see that. But, again, they have a plan. They're committed, and they're going to stick as close to that plan as possible. Although, you know, I do believe, you know, he'll get an opportunity maybe a few minutes there left in the second quarter, get an opportunity to play with the ones, or even coming out of halftime. I don't see why, you know, he can't get a series of two in there coming out of halftime, because they're going to leave the big guys in there a lot longer than they're going to leave the skill players. So I definitely believe we'll see him with the ones next week.
Fred Taylor in Western Florida tonight, down south, joining us on the phone line in Jaguars postgame. Well done, Fred, and we'll talk to you next week before the Lions and the Jets.
I'm looking forward to next week. We're going to see what the center guard combination is going to do. against Big Sue down there in the middle. So I'll be tuned in, man. I can't wait to see those guys get ready for that test and see how they handle it.
Now, Freddie gave the defense a C-plus, I think, earlier. I give Fred an A-plus tonight, man. Fantastic stuff.
Oh, man, you're giving me too much credit, Mike.
A-minus, all right.
There's no room to improve there.
I need room, man. It's got a long season, baby. I'm here to work. Let's do it.
Fred, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, man. Y'all have a good one.
Fred Taylor joining us. Boy, what a night, huh? The Jags offense better, Mike, and the defense had some positive things, too. But a little bit, just more and more moving forward.
There's some positives, there's some negatives, but there's nothing catastrophic. Now, you hope
maybe the injuries.
Well, that's the one thing with Austin Pastor in particular. Blanco, the fact that we heard a lot in the pregame on the broadcast tonight, guys who were on the field in Soldier Field in Chicago saying they knew Blanco was going to get in early. Kind of the word was this guy's going to get a bit longer look, a more serious look. So this might set him back from getting some early season playing time, but I think Austin Pastor is the one we're going to monitor closely.
That'll do it for Jaguars postgame tonight. Jaguars Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. And for Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. We'll be on the air at 6:30 next Friday. Jags at the Lions, 7:30 kick. Final score tonight in Chicago, the Bears 20, the Jaguars 19. We'll see you next week on the Jaguars Radio Network.